So now he lit everybody. Let me go back to verse 4 since my mic wasn't on. In him was life, and life was light of men. You can go to opposite and say, outside of him is no life. Right here, verse 4, John chapter 1, verse 4. If in him was the life, then outside of him is no life. Right? Verse 9, that was a true life, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. That means that light, that life, was the life source for everybody that's here. You, me, everybody that exists, they got life from him. Now we read on, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the word was made flesh. I love this. It's talking about Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Go over to chapter 5. And I stopped on those two things because we have to understand, and I know we know this surface wise, and I know we say this, and I know if I say this, everybody says amen. But we have to understand that all of our lives came from him. There is nothing that we have or are. There's not a breath that we've taken in our lives, no matter how many breaths you've taken. There's not a heartbeat. If you could count all the heartbeats you've had over the history of your life, there's not one that didn't come from him. There's not one thing about you that you made. The Bible talks about, can you add a cubit to your stature? You can't do it. We can do different little things to try to be fancy, but you can't. That's why they're trying to recreate people now and try to make human blood. They can't do it because only God can create life. And we have to remember that our whole lives, how much of it? Our whole lives, how much of it? Our whole lives come from God. The whole thing. All right, and many times we hold parts of our lives back from God. We have our set ways we do things. We have our set times of the day, our jobs, our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, our whatever. And so because of so much of our, like what we got, we don't have much. I was riding today, and I wasn't in the tongues and like that. I'll be trying to tell everybody how it works, because I wasn't deep off nowhere. My father told me to practice the presence of God. He always told me that. He said, you can get deep and try to get deep when you come to church, or try to have your spiritual time of the day when you say it's your meditation time, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, it should be all day. It should be a constant practicing of his presence. There should be not a time of the day where God can't get a hold of you. Now, God knows what's going on, so while you're at the job, he's not going to make you start falling out, laying hands up. He's not going to do that. Because he knows, look, you go pay attention to Jesus, you'll see how intelligent God is. And he's way smarter than all of us. You don't have to worry about that, but there should be a way that he should always have access to your understanding. There should never be a part of you. Now let me break this down. Let me break this down in your mindset, because we learned this, but we learned the wrong way. There shouldn't be no devotional time in your day. My day is devoted. All right, now you can devote time if you want, and that's what you're going to get. Be it unto you according to your faith. They say, do you believe I can do this? Yeah, according to your faith, be it unto you. What measure you meet is measured. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall also reap. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Come on. He's talking about something else. We make things minuscule. He's talking about something much deeper. He's talking about something much deeper about you. What are you giving? How much are you committing? I'm riding the car the other day, and I guess the Holy Spirit told me this, but I feel like I told him that. But I guess we were just talking, and the thought, I don't care where all thoughts come from anyway, so it's cool. Yeah, I don't care if I thought I came up with it. I know he came up with it before I thought I came up with it, right? Because it's all his, right? And he said, people got to be taught how not to be selfish. People have to be taught how not to be selfish and how to be selfless. And then he told me that's Jesus' whole ministry. You pick a subject that we talk about in church. You pick a meeting that we have. You pick something we're going on, and it's all lead to the same thing, that is not about you. John 5:39, look at it real quick. Are you there? Y'all go ahead and read it. Ready to read.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify.
Now stop there. So come on, what is it saying? Search them scriptures. Do it. Memorize them. Search them. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you got life. But you know, don't say don't search them. Search them. Right? Study the word, right? In them you think you have life, but they testify of who? That means they give a testimony. They're giving a witness. They're telling you who I am. The word made flesh. They're telling you who I am. These scriptures that you read are all pointing towards Jesus. Every time you pick up the Bible, they're trying to show you Jesus more. But there's a devastating thing it says in the next scripture, because it says what? But you just won't come to me. That you'll have eternal life. You just won't do it. That means that. So you telling me that I can search the scriptures and still not get it? Well, we living proof of that. Ain't we? Amen. Come on, everybody. Come on. Can we living proof? Y'all, come on. How many scriptures you done searched, and how many times you done read that scripture and you didn't see it? See, there's God said this thing, and He said this thing in the scripture. In the Old Testament, He said, anything lukewarm, I spit it out. Right? He said, I'd rather that you be hot or cold. Yeah. He said, lukewarm, you kind of in the middle. I spit it out because I ain't got nothing to do with that. He said, if you're cold, at least I know you need to get hot. Right. And if you're hot, at least I know you're hot. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. At least I know what's going on. But that lukewarm, mm-hmm. I can't do nothing with you. I can't use you because you're luke. I don't even know what to do with you. I don't even know where to put you at. So I'll spit you out. Because you're lukewarm. There is no median or middle when it comes down to the things of God. And we tried for life. We've been talking about health, right? We've been talking about health, my mother stopped me today and talked to me a little while, and she talking about health a little while, and she'd be getting on me. And there is no, we look for excuses to do what we want to do. We do. Well, we know, we start saying the new thing is, really the truth of the matter is, and I'm not trying to get deep into it, but the truth of the matter is you're organic matter. You're made from the earth. So you're supposed to be taking in things from the earth, right? You're not supposed, your body is not made to digest meat or anything like it's not made for that. It's made to digest things that it's made of, right? Makes sense, right? Made that, but we you know, so then they got to say, well, if you can do 80-20, well, if you can do 80% raw and 20%, you know, whatever you want, then you'll be okay. But come on, like 80-20. It's not 100. So what you expect? What kind of health are you expecting? All right, listen to me. What measure you meet is measured to you, right? Listen to me. All right, so we constantly come up with excuses to have our own ways. And we are afraid to die. We are completely terrified of giving up this little stuff that ain't nothing now. This little life, think about the stuff you hold on to. Think about the money you hold on to. Think about the friends you hold on to. Think about the little time you hold on to. Think about the little understanding. You know, think about the little pride, ego. Pride and ego is the worst thing that's happened to humankind. Because you don't want to give it up. People got to be taught how not to be selfish. People got to be taught Jesus' whole theme. I said this in another class, last class we had. How much of his power did he use for himself? I wait. You get thick. We start talking like this. Because now it's talking about dying. Now it's talking about the fellowship of his suffering. Now it's talking about being made conformable even unto his death. Now, whether you like it or not, every scripture that you read is talking about that. You can make it smooth. You can try to mellow it out. You can try to say, well, what about? Well, you know, you try to find scripture and flip around. Ain't no other scripture to flip around. You got to give it all up. Amen. This is the only way you're going to get it all. You know, I can imagine God, he love us. Thank God. He love us in spite of us. He's crazy about it. That love, that's why they describe the love, and they said, what can separate us from the love of God? And it talks about the depth and length and breadth and height and the love of God. Like, it describes it because it really can't describe how much somebody can really love you when you're not that lovable. And can you imagine? I don't even think you got it. Like, I don't even think you got love for anybody that you, I know you think you love your family and stuff like that, but you ain't got love for nobody that much to where ain't nothing they can do that's going to make you not love them. And here God, no matter what, he loves. And I know God loves us, but can you imagine the fact that everything that we have comes from God and we don't even want to give it all back? That is there's a scripture that David over in Chronicles, and I'll find it for you just for the sake of a study sake. It's 1 Chronicles 29 and 14. You have to go there, but and I give you context in 1 Samuel 22. They say all that was in debt, all that was in distress, all discontented, and gathered themselves in the cave of Adullam under David. Because they were all broke, they was busted, they was messed up, and they gathered themselves to David, and David became a captain over them, right? So because he became a captain over them, which is important about connection and apostolic, and having a captain to lead you somewhere, if you pay attention to the captain, maybe you'll get somewhere, right? Like, it's important to have that, because now we go on, these guys, everybody was in debt, they was in distress, stressed out, and they were discontented, unhappy. They gathered themselves into David in the cave of Adullam, right? So here we go. Now, these same group of people now over in Chronicles have, David has led them out into some wealth. Now, these guys are billionaires. And they're giving to build a temple. So now they're just putting the money out there to build a temple of God. Y'all hear where we at now, right? We went from there to here, right? And then David makes a statement now. Now it's amazing the why God can keep using. He makes a statement. He said, Verse 14 in 2 Chronicles 29, 1 Chronicles 29, 14, I'm going to read it. It said, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly of this sort? They were given billions. All right? They were given billions. And he said, this last statement, he says, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. So that means when it's time to give, you ain't giving nothing but what God gave you anyway. So you're holding back. When it's time to give up your life, you ain't giving nothing but what you had. Who breathed into you? And you're holding back. You're concerned about what you have. They ain't got nothing. Thank you. You ain't got, especially you ain't got nothing worth what you're supposed to have. True or not true? Can I get an amen? So now, maturing, that the Ephesians 4 talking about that we may grow up into him in all things. The scripture says, search the scripture, for any of you think you have life, but they testify of me. It's written in red, so it's Jesus talking. He said, but you won't come all the way. Like, you won't come all the way to me. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus is trying to tell you, not only did he try to tell you, but then he tried to tell you by his actions, because they speak louder than the words, right? If you don't believe me for my word, believe me for my work's sake, right? That's what Jesus said. He says, this is how you do it. Give it up. Yeah. This is how it gets done. Now, I'm prone to believe about 90% of y'all in this room going to end up being mediocre. Because you're not willing to do that. You're going to fade on as a good Christian. We're going to give you a good eulogy at your funeral. You're going to have a good night, a little cute little thing on your tombstone. And nobody will never remember nothing. Let me tell you something about Paul. You know Apostle Paul? He used to be Saul. He was killing Christian folk. He had experience with God. And now suddenly, Weston Silva, I took it in when I was at LSU, and they said, Jesus and Paul are the two most important people in the spread of Christianity. He said, Jesus is number one just because he's Jesus, right? He is the Christian. Like, he's Christ, right? And then Paul spread it more than any other man. And I'm prone to believe that, I don't know, many didn't have the revelation like of Jesus like Paul did. Paul didn't meet Jesus now. You know that, right? He didn't walk with him. Paul had more revelation of Jesus than Peter did that walked with him. Paul had to call Peter on the car before being a racist. Listen to me. But somewhere with this encounter with Christ, when he got knocked off that beast, right? Somewhere in this encounter, it did something to Paul, and Paul began to look for Jesus more than anything else. You know, Paul went off for years. Paul went off for years and years and years and years and years and years to go out there and get away from what the status quo was so he can get a revelation from Jesus, of Jesus. Because everybody was saying what it was, but nobody was living up to it. Everybody was saying what the move was, but nobody was living up to it because nobody was doing them same works. I got to get out and get off and talk to him for myself and see what he's saying. And then Paul comes back and starts talking about that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. Now, we realize that you don't realize that the power is in the last two parts. What's the point of you having power if you ain't going to use it for what it's made for? What's the point of you having anointing if the Spirit of the Lord ain't upon you to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the broken heart, recovering the sight to the blind, to set liberty to the bruised? That whole Luke 4:18, right? What's the point of the Spirit of the Lord being upon you if you're not going to do it? But that's what we're asking for. We constantly ask for the Spirit of the Lord. Holy Spirit, rain on me. Holy Spirit, come down on me. But the little bitty God, you ain't use it. I said this before in this class, and I'm going to say it again. Now, what this word is doing. I'm going to teach you what this word. This is living by the book. I'm going to teach you what this word is doing. All right? This word is here to change your mentality and your understanding. Majority of the things that we learned about what learning was ain't it. We learned a lot of stuff from mama and them and daddy and them and auntie them. We learned a lot of stuff in traditional church, and we learned a lot of different things that ain't like Jesus. Amen. Can I get an amen? Anybody? Okay, so now here we go. So now this word is changing my soul. It's changing my mindset. It's changing my understanding, because I know that as I think, therefore I am. I know how my thoughts go. It doesn't matter. I know I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me and the creative force on the inside of me, but if my thoughts jacked up, then that can't get out. Right? It can't get out and manifest from outside of me, right? So now my mind, my soul, my filter, my understanding, and all that I get and get, understanding of what? Who Jesus is. My understanding. It's changing my understanding. It's changing my function. I was reading a scripture today, living by the book. That's what we're doing, right? This is meditation, right? So I'm reading the scripture today. Matter of fact, I wasn't reading the scripture, I was reading the book. Apostle about to come out a book called Beyond Breakthrough. It's going to be a great book. Y'all be able to get it. It'll come out probably sometime right before camp meeting. Beyond Breakthrough, great book. So I'm proofreading. I'm proofreading it, but I'm just reading through it. I'm going to read through it all the way through. Read through the first half, then I'm going to read through the second half tomorrow. So I'm reading it. And so we get to the scripture. And some of y'all remember when Apostle preached about keys. By the revelation, by the keys. We use the same scripture we're talking about with Paul in the revelation. So he said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, right? Then he makes a statement. He said, the gates of hell should not prevail against it, right? Against the church, right? So you know, we had our stuff off for years because we thought that we were protecting from the gates, but gates don't move, right? So we finally realized, even though we see gates all the time, that gates don't really move. So really what it's saying is, instead of us being on the defense, we're on the... So that means we're moving forward, right? And so I'm reading, and it's giving the points in the book, and I'm reading, and my mind got two flashes of understanding. You ready? I got two flashes of understanding. Now, the first flash of understanding is most of us, all right? And me included, all right? First flash of understanding is, well, I got the key now, right? So now I got the key. So what happened? What can I do with the key? Unlock what? The gates. What am I unlocking the gates for, though? Come on, what you unlocking the gate for? I'm waiting. To go through. You want to go through, right? What are you unlocking the gate for? Come on. I want to hear your answers. I really want your answer. What you unlocking the gate for? What? Come on. Huh? Access. That's nice. Okay. Come on. And that's it is access, and it is, you can go through, right? Come on. What you unlocking the gate for? Say it again. After you in, lock it, keep everything else out. That's a cool answer. And that works, right? Now, so I had those answers, you know, that where I can, you know, anything that's trying to keep me out of where the law want to take me to, I got a right to go in, right? Anywhere that's trying to keep me locked in somewhere, I got a right to get out, right? Yeah, and that was, that's true. It's very true, but that ain't the deepest revelation of that. So here we go, I'm sitting there, right? I'm not this filter, all right? This filter. Everybody say filter. Now it depends on if I put a red filter over your glasses, over your eyes, then what everything you're gonna see is what? Red. If I put a blue and everything's gonna be what? Blue. Put a purple, everything's gonna be what? Purple. It's all about your perception. It's all about perception with what you're gonna see, right? It's all about the filter that you have over your eyes. Now remember, your soul is your filter, right? It's all about your filter to how you see what's going on, right? And so he flipped my filter while I was sitting there. I'm just sitting in the foyer right there. He flipped my filter. And so I saw the keys, right? So excited about that. And I saw the gate. Excited about that. So I thought, you know, with everything we were saying just now, we're going to go in, lock it behind us, right? Or we're going to lock the door and get out. Ain't nothing going to be able to stand up against me, right? The Lord showed me walking to the gate and unlocking the gate. And freeing all the people Satan had held up. The Lord showed me walking to the gate and unlocking the gate. He said he got people that he got trapped, that he's trying to keep trapped until they go to real hell. So he said, here, take the keys, church. Take the keys. Take the keys. Listen. It's not that what you said was bad. Not that what we said was bad before, right? But the resounding theme through the Bible is the light that's of the Lord, he gives his eyes of your heart. Acknowledging all your ways, I direct your path. Seek first the kingdom. What's the kingdom? The people are the kingdom. God's way of doing things is setting the people free. I prove to you God's way of doing things setting the people free because God's, his flesh word, Jesus, his flesh word, not in the written no more. The flesh word came down here and he simply did it for everybody else. And then he simply died for everybody else. That is the kingdom of God. So now I see the keys. So I take the keys. And I take the keys that he gave me. And I did it for somebody else. Now me opening the gate for somebody else, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sowed, that shall also reap. Open the gate, open gates. Can you see why we miss it though? But it's my filter though. Everybody say my filter. Touch your head, say my filter. See the word of God, my filter. Come on, my filter, say it again. My filter. See the word of God, we can, this good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, right? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There's one talent, two talent, five talents, right? God is showing us, Jesus was showing us something about where you can end up if you don't pay attention. And 60 is better than zero. So cool, you're going to go to glory with 60. But if I know that 100 is available, then I ain't do what I was supposed to do. 34, 64, 100-fold. Right? 100-fold is fold the whole thing. The whole thing folded. Right? If I do 60-fold, there's something left unfolded. If I do 30-fold, something is left unfolded. Are y'all understanding me? See, he's talking about how much you give, but you can't, till you'll never be able to give that much until your filter get that much. You'll never be able to do that until you've conditioned to do that. And so now here we go with the keys. And he said, you know, you were, he said, this is clear as day, man. I changed my life. Listen, he said, you trying to get all this done, right? But unlock the gate for some people. Unlock the gates. Like they trapped. Y'all know they got people in this world trapped, right? You know they're trapped under the evil influence of the enemy, right? Some of them think they know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're trapped, right? Who going to free them? Who going to help them out? Who going to do it? Who going to do that? While we out here getting all our stuff, who going to free the people? While we out here grabbing and praying in tongues for what we want, who going to help the people? You know that's what it's about, right? Then don't leave ministry school thinking that it's about you. Because it never is. It never is. The things that are not taken care of in your life is because you're trying to take care of them. You still holding on. and you don't want to give them. Giving up is more than a prayer. Well, Father, I give it up. No, prove it. Get it? Right? Like, sacrifice yourself for, right? If I give my life, I get life. Come on, man. Come on. Listen. And so now he said, you unlock the gate, right? You unlock the gate because they got some people back there. Well, you need some, but I need some money, Lord. I got to go to work. I got to get some money. I gotta pray for my increase to come, right? Right? But can you imagine unlocking a billionaire? Jesus used to minister to them people in the Bible, and they used to say, I'll give you everything I got. They say, I'll give all my alms to the poor. Paul, the same thing happened to Paul. He said, I'll sell everything I got to give it up. Because you didn't know that alabaster box, that all that precious ointment, people didn't understand how that was. It was built in a certain way, but it didn't have no, you couldn't pour it out. The only way was to break it. It was made for a special time. It was made for one special time, and it was like passed on down generations. It was something that grandma passed down, that great-grandma passed down, and we kept this thing for a long time. It's a family heirloom. So you better not crack this. You better not crack this jar. Listen, and then the instructions go down. Don't crack this jar. Don't crack this unless you have a good reason to do so. Don't play around with this. And what was to her family's name, pow, I cracked that thing open for Jesus. Do y'all understand what I'm saying right now? A lot of times, if you use the keys right, the car will start and you'll make progress. But if you don't use the key, can I give you a good example, right? There's a lot of keyholes on the car. Some on the doors, right? They got one in the car to start the ignition, get it moved, but they got one in the trunk too. Now, if you keep going with the key, you get access to the trunk, but all you get is the trunk. There's no movement. There's no rolling. There's no progress. You ain't going nowhere. You get in the trunk and start making noise with your mouth. It don't matter. You ain't going nowhere because you ain't using the keys for progress. So could it be that we haven't been moving because we've been in the trunk? Could it be that we haven't been moving because we hadn't been using it properly? Could it be that I've just been trying to use the word for me? Take no thought for tomorrow, Matthew 6, right? He said, look at the birds. He take care of the birds. He said, take no thought. He said, you know you got need of all these things. But seek ye for Matthew, come on, go. Matthew 6, go there real quick. It's living by the book. This is your life by this book. Now, majority of people that call themselves Christians are not living life by the book. They're picking what they want. They're trying to act like they're nice. Let me tell you something. Go ahead, Matthew 6. Just because you're nice, just because you're nice doesn't mean you're not selfish. You can be selfish and be the nicest person in the room. So that's why they're two different words. Selfless and nice are two different words. Right? That's why they're two different things. If they wasn't two different things, they'd be the same meaning. But it's not. It's two different things. So that means I can be nice and selfish at the same time? Yes. I can be a pleasant person to be around, but still selfish as ever. Sometimes people think they're not selfish because they give a little bit to the charity. Or they give a little bit to the church. Right? Or they do a little, we do everything to pat ourselves on the back on a day-to-day basis. So we'll slow down and let somebody get out at the light. And now that's our badge of not being selfish. Everybody do that. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people do that. Matthew 6, verse 24. I think I want to start at verse 24. Let me get there real quick. Verse 25, let me see. Verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, Jesus talking, right? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your, oh, Lord. What did he say? Oh, no. Scratch it out. No. That ain't in there. It ain't in there. It can't be. It can't be in there the way we living. It can't be in, no. No, it's not in that. Did it say, therefore I say unto you, and what did it say? And then what else? What else? Oh, what else? Body, what else? We'll be thinking about our clothes and how we gonna, we ain't gonna have a roof over our head if I don't, what we if I give this, what we gonna have? And what about my life? And what? These are done crazy. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, but we sow. We got to build it to sow, right? Neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, every time that you're trying to take care of yourself, you're saying that you're not better than the birds. You ain't nothing but a chirp bird. Every time. Remember that. Every time you try to look out for yourself, how many times you've been looking out for yourself in that same thing that didn't work? Insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for these clothes? Consider the lily and of the fields, how they grow, and they toil not, they don't do no work, and they don't spin neither. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, the grass of the field. If I'm going to clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little what? Faith. You got little faith. When you're trying to do it yourself, your faith little. When every revelation you get, let me tell you something. When I hear the word, this has changed my life, okay? This changed my life. And you had to work on it a little bit. I'm still working on it, right? Because the scripture talking about growing up in him. So I'm trying to get like Jesus. Like, I think day by day I'm getting more like him, right? And the more I get like him, the less I care about other things, right? Right. And it's a little nerve-wracking sometimes, but I ain't scared because that's what we're here for. Like, what else are we here for? Like, what else are we doing if we don't do that? Like, if we live this whole life, we don't grow up into Jesus, what have we accomplished? Right? And so I'm sitting. So what I do is this. Then when the word coming forth, I don't care who preaching, right? When the word coming forth, I'm looking for Jesus. All right. Not am I looking for Jesus, but watch this. I'm not trying to look for Jesus like they better say something about Jesus. No. It's not about how many Jesus they say per sentence. No, not that. That's not what I'm saying. I am filtering my mind. Listen to me. I am letting the word of God change my mind. I'm letting the word of God change my understanding. So now when the word of God comes from out of me, towards me and into my ear gate, it filters a certain way. There are sometimes in churches that have bilingual congregations. They'll have congregations where people speak Spanish. And we went to a church in Lubbock, Texas one time, and they had a real high Spanish-speaking community, but there's a lot of people that speak English. Well, Apostle came, he's speaking English. He don't know Spanish, right? So now they got what you call an interpreter, right? Right. But then they, what they'll do is sometimes, so the interpreter won't be saying stuff loud in the church. Sometimes he'll be preaching, and they'll have the people that didn't understand English in another room with headphones on. And so the interpreter will be saying something in a microphone in another room. When they hear it, they're interpreting it to the people, and they have headphones. It was cool how they had it. They had headphones on, and they were translating it to them so they could understand in their language. Yeah. It was a conversion for them. Right. And so I fixed my understanding. I fixed my filter to where when the word comes in, which is of God, right? When the word comes in, it meet nothing but God in me. I don't want to, this is what I want the word to do. If the word meets me in here, then I want to cut it. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharpening into a sword, right? Right? Even divine the son of the soul and spirit, right? I'm talking about the bone and marrow, right? You see what it's talking about right there? I want it to cut me. I want it to come in and cut me down. Kill me. So that Christ can live in me. So I got the filter. So the more he cutting, it's like pruning. The more he cutting off, the more he cutting off of my soul, that is just me, the more I hear him. And so now when the message comes forth, now when I hear the keys, you'll never forget this. Now next time you hear about the keys, you'll never forget it. But now when I hear the keys and the gates of hell is not prevailing, I know I can take the keys and unlock it. Now I'm realizing I'm going to unlock some people. And so now it'll open up. God says, you want to do that for my people? Wow, well, you a man after my own heart. You ready? What's the great commandment of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your soul. Right. Then what's the next one? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Or love yourself just like you love your neighbor. We can flip it right there, right? You ready? So now God said, oh, you got a heart just like mine. What? You got a heart just like me. You thinking just like me. You right after my heart. So if you, all right, are you ready? You ready for this? You ready? Are y'all ready? Since you're right after my heart, I'll make you right after my words. I don't know if you got it. All right. Since your heart is just like my heart and there's no disconnect, I'll make your words just like my words and there'll be no disconnect. Well, you remember what happened? We started talking, huh? Let there be. And there was, right? Right? Why are we talking so much stuff and don't nothing happen? Because there's a disconnect. It's only a disconnect because of the filter. Because the word of God got to take too much time cutting you down. When if you crucified yourself, he wouldn't have to cut you in the service. When apostles start preaching, he's going to come teach y'all tomorrow. When he start teaching you, listen to me. You want to make advancement or no? What do you want to do? Listen, when he start ministering to you, what happens is that word is coming. It's coming in there flying, right? Now it's one or two things it's going to do to you, right? It's going to spend most of the time cutting at you because you thinking more highly than you ought to think. It don't mean you're biggity. All right, get off of that. Now stop thinking, well, I'm not biggity. No, there's a lot of people that's not biggity that ain't got nothing going on. You get it? It's not that. It's not being biggity. It's cutting you. So that word got to sit there and cut you the whole time. So now it got to keep cutting you. And it can't get to the cutter. Like it can't get to the inside and then begin to cut out you. Because it got to keep cutting you. Now, the reason it got to keep cutting you, clean your colon, right? Well, if you keep putting stuff in your colon, then no matter what kind of colon pills or what kind of herbs you take, it's still going to be fighting that junk that you keep putting in to hold up the colon. So now the herbs, did you know that your colon takes in a lot of your minerals? Did you know that? Did you know that a lot of the nutrients that your body needs is taken in through the colon? The colon is not just made to push stuff out. A lot of it is absorbed in the colon. Did you know that? But if your colon is caked, then that stuff coming in is trying to deal with the crust. Trying to deal with the crust in your mind, and it can't get to where you're absorbing the things that come in. I'll prove it to you. You ever heard a really, really good message before? And it was hot, and we got lay hands, everything. We did all, I mean, I'm just trying to get to the hot message, right? And then 2 weeks later, you forgot about it. You remember the message, but you wasn't living it. Or it wasn't something that was like, this one changed my life, and I've never been back since. You ever had it before? Me? I have. No, don't feel bad. I have it before. Yeah, because it was just hitting the crud in the colon. And it wasn't absorbed into the bloodstream. So, everybody say living by the book. Come on, say it again, say living by the book. So now when I'm living by the book, what it's telling me is the book is trying to teach me about my living, okay? So now when I'm reading these scriptures, it's changing my filter. So when I'm searching the scriptures, it's changing my filter to make me see Jesus better than I've seen him. It's changing me into him. I only do what my Father tells me to do. I'm going to tell you what kind of man Jesus was. The rich young ruler, this is another person, the rich young ruler come running and say, good master. What can I do to inherit eternal life? He said, Jesus, you ready? Jesus said, who you calling good? Ain't nothing good but God. Now, come on. Like, what kind of man is this? He know he the son of God. He know that I know I'm the chosen one. I know it's my blood that got to be shed for all these people. I know what I'm here for. And then I saw the miracles. I know what I've been. Ain't nothing good but God. That's a powerful man. To be able to be selfless enough, the man says this. Listen to me. The man says, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I can't do nothing of myself. Listen to what the man says. If I bear witness of myself, then my witness ain't true. If that ain't ultimate selflessness, I don't know what is. What we do? I'm Reverend such and such. I'm coming to lay hands on you because I got the power for you. Ain't nothing good but God. But it's a filter. Now, God will give you your title. He'll let you wear your title. Right? He'll let you wear your title. You get it? He'll let you wear your title. He'll let you wear that. Right? He'll let you put that on. But that can't be your identity. Because Jesus is your identity. I told somebody the other day that too many times we're trying to let our gifts, we're trying to identify ourselves by our gifts. Right? When the truth of the matter is, our identity is in Jesus. Jesus is our identity. The gift is just a thing that comes from us to exemplify him. Not our identity. Jesus is the identity. If Jesus ain't the identity, I don't know who you are. Like, if you're not being Jesus at that particular moment, who are you being? It possibly could be the devil. It could possibly be the enemy. It says, for the carnal mind is an enmity between God, because it's not subject to God, neither indeed can be. It's Romans. So my mind, my understanding, my filter, like, I don't want to be self-serving in my serving. I don't want to be a self-serving. See, I am done with this thing, this false humility and this fake church thing where we just walking around and we do it at church on Sundays and Wednesdays. But this fake thing where when we get around the church, and I'm not, we got to be it. Like, I don't want to play that no more because that don't work. Like, I'm not getting away with nothing. God knows the intent of my heart. He knows if I'm fake. I prayed a prayer Sunday, and I put it on my Facebook. I said, Lord, please help me to not be fake today. I prayed it. I sat down in the room right now, sitting in the hallway, in that chair, and I said, Lord, please help me to not be fake today. I don't want to be it. And it's not that I was being fake before, but I don't want to take no chances because maybe I was. Lord, you the only one know. You know the intent of my heart. You know my heart better than I know my heart. You know my intentions better than I know my heart. Please help me. I don't want to be fake today. Amen. No. I don't want to do it. I don't want to give this fake worship. Yes. I don't want to get these fake. I don't want to do that. Yes. I don't want to be fake with people. I had a friend of mine last Sunday. This stuff was on my mind. Like, this stuff. You know, my mind gets there, and I get over everything else, right? And so I'll be thinking about it. My friend texted me about 2 days later. He said, hey, you like you had something on your mind? You know, I'm just calling to see if you talk about something. I said, nah, I just got a lot of stuff on my mind, right? And I can't wear it on my, I'm getting to the point where I can't wear it on my face no more. Hey, you know, I can't wear it on my face no more. We about business out here. Like, I'm not. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Good morning. All that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Cool. Let's get, what is he saying? And then how is this relay? What is he saying and how am I relaying? If I'm not relaying it, if I'm not passing it out, and the opportunity to pass it out comes that evening. It always does. Two things going to come that evening after you get a word. Tonight, two things going to come after you get a word. You ready? One or two things going to come. One thing going to come. The first thing going to come is something going to try to come steal it. Always. And the second thing is the opportunity. Why you think before Jesus started doing miracles, the devil tried to psych him out? Right. What you think is going on? Ain't no new tricks. Ain't no new games. But you've got to fix your filter. I had a fuel filter problem I had a little two-seat Mercedes. My daddy had it before. He gave it to me. I'll never forget that little car, boy. I always be rolling that little car, right? And red, black interior. I had it too. And I'll never forget that thing went one day and shut down me in the middle of the road. You know I'm shame already. You know, but I saw I had gas. But what was going on was, it said my fuel filter was dirty. So the gasoline couldn't get to the engine like it was supposed to because my filter was jacked up. Well, how did my filter get jacked up, Mr. Mechanic? Well, he said, you keep letting your gas tank get too low. And so your gas tank keep getting too low, and it keep getting so low that it gets trash. It starts drying up, it gets trash in there. So now when you put more gas in there, and it gets cluttered up in the filter, and now there's no motion because your fuel filter is dirty. Because you own low. You keep riding. Stop riding on E. I'm going to make it a little further. No, you can't. You know you got to get gas, right? Come on. Do you know you got to get gas? What you waiting on? Something to come in? No. You know? I don't care. You know you're going to get gas. You're not going home. If you're on E right now, none of y'all say close enough to where you're going to make it home, Right, right. Well, maybe. But none of y'all really. Right. So you got to get, so just get the gas. Don't go be riding around on E. All right? If it get a little low, your light come on and try to tell you something. Are y'all catching what I'm saying with your filter? Right? Because if you don't stay full, then your filter get dirty. In Luke 21:19, real quick, it says, in your patience, possess ye your souls, right? Right? It's talking about you got to possess your soul. But flip it around. Good preaching, right? Good preaching. If you don't possess your soul, something going to possess your soul. If you don't possess your filter and condition your filter the proper way, then something is going to possess your filter and condition it its way. And that's what's happening to us most of the time. And so now when the word of God comes, it never gets all the way to the heart. It never gets all the way in because the filter jacked up. So when you're living by this book, you're going to read it again later on, and you're going to read it tomorrow, and you're going to read it whenever you read it, right? When you read this book again, realize that it's fixing your filter. Find Jesus, right? And change your functioning to his. No more self. The Our Father prayer. Anybody know it? Go ahead and say it. Go ahead. Who, Father? Oh, so you're talking about our Father. It is my Father. Already trying to get you. Lord, teach us to pray. This is how you pray. Our Father. How be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us. Don't sleep on it, y'all. Don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on it. Wake up. Don't sleep on it.